third Sunday in the Advent calendar, a unique one, as shown by the candles, the pink ones today, the candle of joy. Now, the through line that has been through this season in Advent, coming up to Christmas, is that idea of waiting, right? Traditionally, Advent is actually a somber time in some ways, of reflection, remembering, and waiting. But today is the candle of joy. We're commanded to joy. We are. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Right? But sometimes, and I'm sure if you're breathing, you understand, joy can be hard to find. Sometimes joy isn't there. Sometimes circumstances are not joyful. It's commanded of us, and yet, for so many people, we're tired, we're uncertain, we're waiting, just waiting. You know, at our house, these last several weeks, we've been having a continuous stream of boxes from Amazon. I mean, continuous, right? And, you know, there's a certain thrill to ordering something and that waiting for it to come. You know, oh, it's going to be here. You know, when I was a kid, you know, you'd order something off the box tops. You know, ever done? Well, James probably don't understand, guys. You know. But we used to, like, you could, like, save box tops from cereal boxes, right? So my Frosted Flakes, my Fruit Loops, you know, Cheerios. And if you saved, like, 50 of them, you could mail them in and get a really cheap little trinket prize. And so I would do that. But again, this was not Amazon next day. You'd get all those in, you'd send it, and like 8 weeks later, it would come. And for 8 weeks, as a, you know, 7-year-old, you just wait, and you wait, and you wait. And when that thing comes in and it's there, and you're so excited, you tear it open, and you kind of realize how cheap it is, but, you know, it was fun, right? It was. There's that kind of waiting. It's kind of a fun kind of waiting. But there's another kind of waiting, isn't there? And it's one thing to wait for a prize for my box tops. It's quite another to wait on a biopsy diagnosis, isn't it? I mean, it's one thing to wait in a line at the grocery store, and quite another waiting for a child who's struggling with addiction to come to their senses or to find their way. That's hard waiting. That can be really hard waiting. Waiting for a spouse who you're struggling with, or whatever it may be. These are hard things sometimes. This is hard waiting. We heard a bit of that today with John the Baptist, didn't we? I mean, John was doing some hard waiting in prison, and we're going to be seeing that here. But we are on this Sunday, the Sunday of joy. So the question we have is, where do we find joy in the hard waiting? And that's what we want to look at today. Our Old Testament reading, prophecy, which if you heard the echoes of it in some other readings, joy breaks into a desert. Joy breaks into the wilderness, and the dry land shall be glad. That desert is often a picture of struggle, despair, hardship. Going across a desert is a difficult thing. You know, but sometimes in the right season, the desert can bloom. I've never seen it. I saw it one time when we were living in California, when we went out east from San Diego, across up into the desert after it rained. And I was shocked. So I'd been there before, and you look, and it's just barren nothing. Stone, brown grass. And then we went up after this rain and had this bloom. And it is incredible. Just waves of colors, purples and oranges and yellows. And you wouldn't think it's the same place. The sense of renewal. It's awesome. It's incredible. And we see that God does bring renewal in unexpected places. Right? Wilderness and dry land. Water where there is none. It's a picture of transformation. Not escape. The promise of God is one of transformation, of bringing joy where you are. Even in the desert places. God meets his people in these dry places. And that is a promise we can hang on to. To try to find joy is to remember and hold on to promises like we see here in Isaiah. It will blossom eventually. There will be rejoicing and singing. He will come and he will save you, as we read here. And that is where we can start to find or try to hang on to some joy, even in these hard places. The reference that we see here is of the kingdom. The kingdom of God. That is where we find joy. We saw the reference, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame leap. The same thing that Jesus said to John, as we'll see in a minute. This was in Isaiah, a prophecy of something that is coming. These prophets, as we read today, they didn't see the end. But they said it and they believed it, even when they didn't see its completion. And that's what Advent is about. It's the looking forward, as the prophets did to the birth of Jesus, that first time. But for us today, here, now, in our hard places, in our dry areas, in our struggles, in our despair, in our hopelessness, we do look forward in the same way to Jesus again. To his coming, for the kingdom of God to come in its fullness. And that's what we can hang on to. This becomes the checklist that Jesus lists off for John the Baptist. And so we start to see, I think, that joy is possible. If we remember that God is acting, he is. Even if it is in our perspective, slowly. But we believe. We believe, and we can take joy in small ways from that belief. But there is that reality. What do we do when God doesn't meet your expectations, maybe in the way that you're hoping he will meet them, in the timing that you would hope that he would meet them? I think that's exactly where John the Baptist was. John, set apart to God from birth, filled with the Holy Spirit at birth, born to be a prophet, became a great prophet, was followed by hundreds and hundreds who'd flock to see him. And his message was the kingdom of God was coming. And he believed it. And when Jesus showed up, John instantly recognized him. Saw Jesus for who he was. I can't imagine the joy that John would have at that moment to see what God had promised. To see Jesus. And his joy must have been amazing. But here we have John in this passage where all of a sudden it wasn't quite the same, was it? He's in prison. He was suffering. And doubt seems to have started to creep into him. He can remember when he saw Jesus at that river, when he himself baptized Jesus. And yet, in that cold, dark cell, possibly chained, suffering, hungry, cold, he started to wonder. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe this isn't what I thought it was going to be. We can be there too, can't we? You will be there. Things don't always go the way you want them to. They rarely do. And yet, Jesus' response was, I've come. This is what's happening. This is what's happening. John had an honest question. Are you the one, or should I look for somebody else? We have seasons of doubt, but Jesus, his response was gentle. He doesn't rebuke him, say, come on, John. Buck up. You know who I am. Please, give me a break. No. He gave him evidence. He said, John, it's okay. Look, the blind are seeing. The lame are walking. The deaf are hearing. People are being fed. People are flocking. People are coming. People are believing. The poor are hearing the good news. Jesus tells them the kingdom is happening. Maybe you aren't seeing it in your little cell there, but it is. It may not be you expected. It may not be the way you expected. But it is there if you look and you see. And so he reminds him and those around him that blessed is the one who doesn't stumble. To remember that he is working, if you don't see it, to remember in the prison of your waiting. And even when circumstances look dire, he is working. He is. And we can start to try to hold on to some joy. I hope that John the Baptist, when he heard those words, found some joy. Say, okay. Because we know, again, whatever expectation he may have had, it ended up poorly for him. But do you think that after that moment, his head is gone? He realized joy. At that moment, he could say, yes, it's true. And we have to hang on to that and keep going to find our joy. But we come to that terrible P word, patience. Our New Testament reading in James is it's a tough one. Be patient, therefore, until the coming of the Lord. It's telling us to hang on. Hang on. The moment you think it's gonna, you just want to give up. We don't know. Maybe the next day, the next hour, maybe the next minute is when the deliverance comes. We don't know. And so we hang on. That is the call here. Be patient. Like the farmer. You put the seed in the ground. You have no idea. You don't see anything. But you wait. Be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. That's the same thing. He says, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. That's our example. Those prophets who foretold Jesus' birth that we know now is true. We, like them, can look forward and know that God will keep his promises. You can't force growth. You can't force your will upon your situations. You must trust. Trust the process. Trust the God who's made that promise. Trust that God is at work, like the farmer who knows that that seed in there, even though I can't see it, now is growing. It is bursting forth. And it will sprout up, even if we don't see it. God is at work in our soil of our lives, underneath the surface. Even if we don't see it, even if we don't feel it. We know this is true. We know it. And so we hang on to it and we find some joy in that. Now, patience is not passive. Just sit back. It's a strengthened resolve. Godly patience enables us in the hard things to take steps forward, to work for good, to believe, to keep going. I'm always struck with the warnings that this passage James gives, particularly the do not grumble. It's so easy to grumble. So easy. My work at car dealership right now. It's honestly, folks, it's tough right now. It's been slow. We're getting pressure, top, down. It rolls down until it gets to me. It's easy to grumble. Ah, I'm not getting any leads. Ah, these people want to buy. Wow, why can't I get somebody with good credit? Wow, why can't I get somebody that has some money? So easy. But to grumble is to deny faith. If we grumble, if we're unsatisfied, is saying, I don't really believe that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. And I don't want to be that guy. We are trusting that God will do and keep his promises. The prophets were able to persevere. They were able to move forward. It was possible to them because they believed in God's promises even when they didn't see it. Even if they never saw it. But it was still true. Faith is believing that that seed is sprouting, even if we don't see it. And we can find joy in that. The last part of joy we want to make sure we understand is joy comes not from circumstances, but from the character of God himself. The Psalm reading, 146, and the alternate reading for this week was the Mary's Magnificat in Luke, who say a lot of the same things, but it's rooted in the character of God himself, in what we believe and know about God. Blessed is the one whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord his God. And it's the one who made heaven and earth, made the sea, who keeps faith forever, who executes judgment for the oppressed. All these things, the Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens eyes blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. These are the things we seek. God lifts up those who are humble and come to him and believe in him. He's there for those who wait in patience and do and act in that belief. Over and over it says, God loves those who are watching out for the stranger, who are upholding the orphan, for helping the widow. Our waiting is one of going out and sharing and helping. It's shown in how we treat people, even if we are struggling. Joy comes from who God is, not about our circumstances or how we feel. Now, please don't hear a kind of false joy in circumstances. I'm not expecting someone who's in constant pain to just laugh and dance and giggle. That's not joy. I don't even know what to call it. All right, joy is that solid, quiet, steadfast, anchored belief and knowing that God is with you. And I don't have to despair in these things. Joy is anticipatory. Waiting joyfully for my prize to come in the mail from the box top. You know, for 8 weeks, I was happy because I knew something was coming. That's the joy you want to try to find. Even if your circumstances are hard, we have the promise that God is going to make things right. And we take joy in that promise. So how do we rejoice when we wait? I think first, look for the signs. Open your eyes to the things that God is doing. Look for signs, but not for perfection. That's the thing we have to be careful of. God rarely fulfills his promises all at once. You know, there is a strand of Christianity that would have us to believe that by faith you will be rich and healthy and perfect in every way because you're God's kid and you deserve it all. But reality is rarely like that. We search and see the glimpses, as the prophets did, as the apostles did, and Christians throughout time have done, to see God's working. Advent joy is not fake cheerfulness. Someone says, how are you doing? I'm fine. When really you're not. It's hopeful trust. How are you doing? I'm okay because God is with me. And so then we bring your honest question to Jesus. Don't be afraid to cry out, to ask and wonder as John did. It's okay. You may suffer for weeks and weeks and weeks and you have no answers. They aren't there and you wonder, okay, God, when's it going to happen? Tell him. He can take it. He wants it. He wants his children to come to him. He wants to reassure them and remember and look for those signs. And so we practice then patient faithfulness, like the farmer. We wait. Sometimes there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do in waiting for that diagnosis from the doctor. There may be nothing we can do to help our wayward child or friend or loved one find the right path. We are helpless. And so we are patient, knowing that God will work. Trust that slow growth and celebrate then the small breakthroughs. When something good does happen, when there's something small, see it for what it is God moving and working, and hang on to it. And lastly then, be a sign of the kingdom for others. Let others see your hope. Let others see your lack of grumbling. Let others see your joy, even in with circumstances. When the church lives this way, we become Jesus' answer to someone else's question. When someone says, is Jesus the one? Is he the one? I'm not sure. Our lives say, yes, he is. Yes, he is. And let me tell you, he is. The truth that we need to hang on to is that God's promises are already breaking into our deserts. We may not see it, it's there. The signs are there, maybe small, maybe quiet, but they are real. Joy is choosing to believe the one we wait for is already at work. We know that, we believe it, and we want to hang on to that. And even if, like John, this life doesn't end with a fulfillment of it, he did find that fulfillment. And so we hang on knowing that at that second advent, that joy candle will be one of the brightest ones there, because we will know him face to face. When the resurrection comes, when I have that new body, when there will be no need for a diagnosis of cancer, when there will be no need for a struggle with a marriage or a terrible struggle with addictions. Joy will be made complete. So we take heart, we strengthen our hands, and know that the coming of the Lord is near. And so we experience joy, and we seek joy, and we show joy to the glory of God and his kingdom breaking through. Let's stand together. And you can turn your hymnal, if you wish, to number 135.